Jesus has been led out to be crucified. And the place of crucifixion is Golgotha, the place of the skull. That's a major road in those days. Many people traveling along this road every day. And Jesus was crucified there, his shame displayed for all to see. You mustn't think crucifixion like those small crosses that sometimes we get at Kurong or we see online, where, you know, there's a convenient piece of cloth covering his parts. In those days, criminals and prisoners, they were crucified naked. And so Jesus would have been naked on the cross, and the soldiers continued their mockery by putting a sign above him that says, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Crucifixion was designed to completely and absolutely destroy the dignity of the one who is crucified. And then we read, passerbys, they come and they hurled insults at him. They were shaking their heads and they were saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." Even the chief priests, the teachers of the law, the elders, they joined in the mockery, right? They said, he saved others. He cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him. And these are cultural elites of their day. The religious leaders, the educated ones, even they mocked Jesus. See, Matthew recorded many of Jesus' miracles in his gospel account. And there we read of the many healings that Jesus performed, many, many miracles that he performs. There is no doubt Jesus saved and healed others. But the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they and the elders, they were mocking Jesus because in their mind they are thinking, he can save others, but not himself. What kind of useless savior is this? That's what they were thinking. How can he save others, but not himself? But unbeknownst to them, they are speaking a profound truth. A truth that they are absolutely blind to recognize. Because if he were to save others, if he was to bring salvation to others, he cannot save himself. Because as we saw, what he was going through is taking upon himself the suffering, the pain, the judgment that as sinners we all deserve. Through his death, through his resurrection and crucifixion on the cross, he saves others. In order to save others, he cannot save himself. And these people, they were witnesses to the greatest saving act in the history of the world. They have played a part in the events leading up to it, but they were absolutely, completely blind, unaware of how significant that was. Their sins were so deep that it blinded them to the truth. And these were chief priests, teachers of the law, elders. They are supposedly the cultural elites of the day. They were supposedly to be the wise ones, the ones who knew the scriptures well, the ones who were telling people how to find salvation. But they mocked the very person that can save them. Leon Morris, who was an Australian New Testament scholar, he said this: their outlook was wrong. They said that they would have believed he was the Son of God had he come down from the cross. We believe that he was the Son of God because he stood up at the cross. 2,000 years later, here in church, here at Willow, we are once again confronted with this question, isn't it? With Jesus on the cross in our scripture reading. Will we be any different from these religious leaders, these cultural elites? 2,000 years of learning and technological advancement and 2,000 years of hopefully wisdom. Will we be any different from the chief priests, from the teachers of the law, from the elders of Jesus' day. See, our search for salvation, in some sense, has not stopped throughout the centuries. Mankind has always searched for salvation. We have never paused in our search for immortality or salvation. We have tried to find salvation in everything and anything. And always, mankind somehow is always looking for a Messiah, a king, to save us from our troubles, to give us peace, to give us security. And mankind keeps searching because there is nothing on earth that's able to carry the weight of expectations and the weight of the burdens of our souls. But salvation is right in front of us in the person of Christ. Right, through his death, through his resurrection, he ended our search for salvation. He is a king unlike any other. We have a king who, instead of wearing a crown of gold, he wears a crown of thorns. We have a king who, instead of being respected, revered at his life, he was mocked and scorned. We have a king who, instead of wearing royal robes, he wears a robe drenched in his blood. We have a king who, instead of saving himself, he's died to save others. We have a king who, instead of reigning from a throne, he reigns from a cross. We have a king who, instead of conquering nations, he conquers death. And so through Christ's suffering, through Christ's death on the cross, as we read these scriptures, as we come to celebrate Good Friday, God is beckoning us. God is saying to us, come. Come and believe in my Son. Come and believe in Jesus. Come and see Christ on the cross. Come and receive the salvation that he has bought for you. That's the kind of King Christ is. That's the kind of King Christ is for us when we believe in him. Come, come to Jesus. That is what the scriptures are saying. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus, our King, our Lord, our Savior, unlike any other. A King who willingly goes through what he went through. Pain, suffering, flogging, all to save the people that he loves. And so, Father, as your people today, we ask and pray, help us to embrace him more and more each day. That as your people come and worship, praise, follow him closer, raise our affections of Jesus in our hearts. Help us to see closer and clearer what he has done for us in and through his death. And so, Father, we ask that by your Spirit, you help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.